News Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
And let's just get right to the truth today. Yesterday, you'll remember that we discussed full disclosure, part one. We talked about disclosure of the corruption in the U.S. Congress. Today, part two, we discuss the intelligence community and the U.S. Justice Department, the corruption there. President Trump's most recent public campaign against the Justice Department and the U.S. intelligence community has stunned current and former intelligence officials. He's doing the enemy's job for them, one FBI agent said. Another agent compared Trump's unwillingness to accept intelligence assessments that contradict his beliefs to the behavior of a toddler. It's like when my son threw temper tantrums when I told him he couldn't do something or if I said something he didn't like. Of course, my son was 3 years old at the time and wasn't sitting in the Oval Office with the nuclear button, the second agent stated. As a result of Trump's actions, intelligence officers are more vulnerable to approaches by foreign intelligence services and more vulnerable to accepting those approaches than any other time in U.S. history. Glenn Carl, a former CIA covert operative, described the president's actions. For decades, the Soviet Union and more recently Russia have denigrated the CIA and our intelligence professionals, including those in the FBI, attempting to delegitimize U.S. intelligence in the process, another intelligence veteran Ned Price said. Now our adversaries have a helper who sits in the Oval Office. So today we're going to talk about the Department of Justice, the intelligence community, and what's going on there in the way of corruption. This is the narrative being spun in the protection of the U.S. intelligence community and the U.S. Department of Justice, what you just heard. Meanwhile, at the top of several of the alphabet intelligence agencies and the DOJ, stories of wrongdoing, collusion, lying, even possible treason and acts of subversion are surfacing almost daily. American justice, as our forefathers established, is long gone at the hands of political elitists who today control most of the senior positions, not just in the Justice and Intelligence Departments, but in most of all the leadership positions in American government. We're going to keep it at the DOJ today, where equal justice under the law, the rule of law, innocent until proven guilty, honesty and integrity have resided for 250 years. Now is nothing more than a shadow of his former self. Corruption lives and is thriving at the DOJ. So whose hands are dirty? If you're listening to this, you'll not know this, but there's a page of picture of all the people that have been fired from the DOJ. It's at the front page of truthnewsnet.org. I encourage you to go take a look at it. If you're reading it, you probably cannot read all the information next to the pictures. But by now, you know who they are. In previous stories, we have listed the names of these and others who have, for various reasons, been fired, forced to retire, or those who have resigned during the Trump presidency. It's been so common, the announcements of a new firing or resignation from the intelligence community or the DOJ are greeted with a simple ho-hum from most Americans. They're no big deal. It's just another day at the Justice Department. You know what? That in itself should alarm every American. Never before in American history has anything even similar to this bloodbath of management happened in the Department of Justice. Never before. Why now? The answer to that question is very simple. It's accountability. For the last 20 years, senior positions in the Justice Department have become almost exclusively political appointments, for which many in government lust for and fight to get for themselves. Why? They're cush jobs. They come with massive perks and special opportunities for those who hold them to garner power second only to the upper tier in the executive branch, but come also with amazing financial opportunities while in office and promises of further financial windfall when leaving office. And those who have held these positions for the last two decades have crafted mechanisms to amass personal gain while perpetrating an environment of cronyism that protects them from all accountability. By loading the top tier of management at DOJ with those who have obligations to those who appoint or hire them, that assures safety for all from any accountability. The cost for this bureaucratic layer of those who have almost exclusive control over how federal law is enforced makes them pretty much bulletproof. And the use of that power has pretty much obliterated what the DOJ has always been about. How's that happened? Well, there are now at least two tiers of American justice, one for the politically connected and one for everyone else. I got to be honest with you. I'm in group number two. I'm one of the everyone else's. Impartiality and justice at the DOJ is gone, and Lady Liberty is no longer blind. A former federal prosecutor by the name of Sidney Powell has blown the whistle. January 27th of this year, 2019, Ms. Powell dispelled the illusion that our justice system is fair and impartial. Powell, who is author of License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the DOJ, in a television interview described a system consisting of out-of-control prosecutors who will do anything to get a conviction. She accused the Justice Department of a broad range of offenses. Some of those include false charges brought by overzealous prosecutor Andrew Weissman. Remember him? He's Robert Mueller's right-hand man, better known as Mueller's attack dog. In the case against leading accounting firm Arthur Andersen, you remember that name from long ago? You won't remember it anymore because Weissman put Arthur Andersen out of business. Although the conviction was subsequently reversed unanimously by the Supreme Court, Andersen was done, completely destroyed. Its 85,000 employees lost their jobs, and the assets of untold investors were simply wiped out. Weissman, he was promoted by the Department of Justice. Destruction of the lives of four Merrill Lynch executives before they could appeal their fake convictions, and they again were prosecuted by Weissman. They were sent to prison with the toughest criminals in the country. They did the worst things they could possibly do to these men, says Sidney Powell, the writer. The defendants were eventually exonerated on appeal. But it was only after one of them served 8 months in solitary confinement. Frequent failure by the DOJ to disclose evidence favorable to defendants as required by law. Using that phony Steele dossier, the DOJ and FBI unlawfully obtained FISA warrants for the surveillance of the Trump election campaign. The dossier was then used to justify creation of a special counsel to investigate alleged Trump Russia collusion. After 2 years now, that investigation is nothing more than a witch hunt against Trump and his supporters. Leaking at the top levels of the FBI and the DOJ in the midst of criminal investigations. Unwillingness of federal judges to discipline the DOJ for its transgressions. Taking it one step further, these top-level DOJ bureaucrats simply weaponized various departments and agencies to and for their own benefit to get rid of enemies either by their destruction or through intimidation. How? Investigate, harass, and prosecute. Think about it. You get indicted and you have to defend a federal indictment, a charge, a criminal charge against you. Any idea of what the cost of that are? If you really want to get out of what you've been charged with when you really didn't do anything, start with six figures. The lowest six-figure number is $100,000 and go up from there. An early Trump supporter targeted by the DOJ right before the 2018 midterm elections was Representative Chris Collins, a Republican of New York. Normally, letters and other contact from the Securities and Exchange Commission are initiated regarding perceived violations, and you work out a deal. You pay a fine, whatever. Just as happened with Tesla's Elon Musk. You know that guy. A big Obama supporter. Well, instead, in Collins' case, the DOJ initiated an investigation into Collins that has, and will, cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars. They didn't offer to give him the chance to pay a fine, like they did Elon Musk. In another example of selective justice, if you steal a credit card and charge over $100,000 and the DOJ handles the case, you can be charged with credit card fraud, bank fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, and theft through deception. You would then be facing from 50 to 80 years in federal prison. Or you can alternatively be given a penalty of community service and 2 years probation. That's what you get when you're Joe Biden's niece. And that's what Joe's niece got. On the other hand, look at former Representative Steve Stockman, Republican from Texas. The donations at issue in his prosecution case were less than just Hillary's travel cost, a mere $900,000 and 4 checks written to 2 nonprofit organizations. Neither of the donors in Stockman's case complained. Neither one. Wasn't like he cheated or he did something wrong and they filed a complaint against him. Instead, the DOJ sought out these donors. If they were really guilty, such a small case should have taken about 6 months to investigate. Instead, it took DOJ and Lois Lerner's former nonprofit division 4 years, 4 grand juries, and an estimated $20 million to create a believable story in order to bring charges against Stockman. They really wanted him bad. In the 1990s, he served on the White House Whitewater Committee. Remember that? That investigated Clinton wrongdoing? And in his most recent terms in Congress, Stockman threatened to consider articles of impeachment against President Obama. He called out Hillary Clinton for breaking the Iran sanctions and busted Obama for giving money to the Haqqani terrorist network. Apparently, the straw that broke the camel's back was when Stockman filed a House resolution calling for the arrest of Lois Lerner for being in contempt of Congress. He had the audacity to stand up to the same hit team now going after Trump. The government, listen to this, they want life in prison for Stockman. Those are the carryover lifers in the Department of Justice. Former AG under Barack Obama, Eric Holder, identified and placed sympathetic ideologues in key departments of the DOJ and the FBI. They were also placed in the Federal Elections Commission and the IRS. This all combined to form what was called a red team that would target, isolate, and destroy opponents of Obama or his legacy. Reportedly, both Democrats and Republicans were on that list, but the majority were conservative leaders. They mapped out weak targets. Then the IRS, the SEC, or FEC would research them deeply, looking for any mistakes or missteps. Once information was gathered that would spark interest, it was leaked to friendlies in the press, politicians, or sympathetic nonprofits such as the Sunlight Foundation. By doing so, they covered their tracks to avoid the charge of targeting. Multiple sources in Congress stated that the DOJ would then hijack these administrative agencies' actions, bringing these investigations in-house, and handle them all as felony investigations. The targeted list, or enemies list, was developed and fleshed out by the Red Team, or Hit Squad. Once the DOJ took a case, it moved without interference, using broad powers to issue subpoenas and charges in federal criminal indictments. Republicans, need I say, are treated differently than Democrats? Example, Duncan Hunter, you remember that name? Republican from California. He was an early Trump supporter. He received a publicized complaint about a potential FEC problem. When the same thing happened to Obama, remember this, same thing happened to Obama that happened to Duncan Hunter when Obama was running for president. He received an FEC warning letter and a notice to correct the problem. He was instructed to pay a $375,000 fine, and the matter was done. Notably, the money in question was a larger amount than Hunter was accused of. Obama's number was larger than Hunter's number. But Hunter didn't receive warning letters, and he didn't get the opportunity to pay a fine. Instead, the complaint went to the DOJ, and Obama sympathizers' red team, remember, the hit squad? The bomb was dropped in a press release just before the 2018 midterm elections. Go figure. Designed to sink Hunter's campaign and defeat him. And it worked. The fix is in. The feds have made the justice system good for them, bad for those charged. Equal justice under the law is not only a story that kids talk about in poli-sci or American history class about the way the justice system worked a long time ago. Innocence until guilt is proven is long gone when federal law enforcement gets involved in a case. You can bet that happens. If the feds want to come get someone, they just go get somebody, and they always get somebody. The process they now use is not to examine a crime that was committed and then put evidence together that shows who committed the crime, their purpose, and how it was done. They now use broad criminal statutes that make it easier than ever for federal authorities to get their way against everyday people. They start with the people and work backwards and find something wrong to get those people that they want to get. The feds have many, many tools. And guess what? You and I, American taxpayers, pay for those tools they have. Federal prosecutors frequently bring conspiracy charges. You hear that brought up all the time. Conspiracy is a broad crime that can sweep up many kinds of conduct. I'm going to give you examples here, and it's kind of lengthy, but listen to what they can and what they do use. Conspiracy charges are challenging to defend. A federal criminal defense attorney who has a client who is charged with conspiracy has to be very diligent in investigating the government's evidence and what role the government thinks each person played in the alleged conspiracy. A conspiracy to commit a federal crime happens whenever there is an agreement to commit a specific federal crime between two or more people, and at least one of those folks makes some overt act to further the conspiracy. The government doesn't have to prove there was a written agreement between the two. Instead, the prosecutor can prove a conspiracy just by proving that the people it says were involved were working together to do something criminal. The general federal conspiracy statute criminalizes both conspiracies to defraud the U.S. as well as conspiracies to violate any other provision of federal law. By the text of that provision, the statute, you can see how the two elements work together. The statute says that it is a crime if two or more conspire to either commit any offense against the U.S. or to defraud the U.S. or any agency in any manner for any purpose, and one more of such people do any act to affect the object of the conspiracy. Sound a little vague and out there, and all kinds of different things can be made from it. That's exactly why they have it in force. The U.S. Code contains other conspiracy provisions. For example, it makes it illegal to commit a conspiracy to manufacture, distribute, or possess with intent to distribute controlled substances. Prohibits committing a robbery of any article in interstate commerce, contains its own conspiracy provision. So Section 1951 of the Code makes it a crime both to commit a robbery and to even conspire, talk about, or think about committing a robbery. You want to be careful what you dream. Big Brother's watching. Courts have held that a person can be in a conspiracy with another even if the two people never meet or never interact. Think about that. As long as they knew the other person was doing something to further the conspiracy. This is most common in a larger conspiracy where a central person or group is coordinating the work of others. Conspiracy charges have the potential to be abused by the government and taken to absurd consequences. In theory, a conspiracy offense could be committed and prosecuted in federal court merely by having two people agree they would rob a bank together and then they buy a ski mask to wear in the bank robbery. That's conspiracy. It boils down to this. Pretty much, whenever federal law enforcement authorities want to get someone for something, they're going to find a way to get her done. So let's wrap this thing up. Folks, we could stay here all day, all night. We could talk about more names, more people that have been taken advantage of and used. And we haven't even discussed the Mueller Russia probe. It would be useless to go there, list all the wrongs done, or illustrate further travesties experienced by Americans who come face to face with the DOJ. It simply boils down to this. The Department of Justice became a weaponized arm of deep state operatives at the top of the U.S. government during the Obama administration. They'd been headed that way, but it really amped up when Obama took the oath of office. Those operatives created an atmosphere that used an armed FBI, CIA, Justice Department to conduct each and every hit job deemed necessary by the bosses. Now, they needed one more thing to perfect this process. They needed a military arm to paint the one-sided narrative to legitimize this method of operating to us, the American people. That messaging arm? The mainstream media. Every day, this will explain why this has happened. Why that every day, all day, you see, you read, you listen as agents at CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, The Washington Post, The New York Times, all spin stories and they spin them the same way. They have the same hook, the same narrative. All those stories to impact our lives with the political elitist version of every story. It's crazy how 8 or 9 major media outlets and newspapers can say the exact same thing, give the exact same version of every story. They're pretty good salespeople, too, when they're selling us. But in fairness to Americans, when news people almost in unison give every story with the same details and perspective as those at other networks and newspapers who give that same story, Americans simply accept the story as true. Think about it. You've given credibility to the news media. We've done that in America my entire lifetime. If every one of the news outlets give every story the exact same way, the story must be true. That's the default position of most Americans. And everybody in the deep state, the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, American people, they know that. And that's the way and the reason for them arming the media. And that's why, in unison, these stories come out every day. Thankfully, the truth is somehow getting around the barriers erected by the media. And Americans have begun to ask the right questions, question what they're reading, seeing, and hearing from the media, and seeking the truth. There's hope, folks. And this president began the swamp drain in January of 2017. And it is draining. It's draining very slowly. But thankfully, the truth rings true to most Americans. So keep digging. Listen, read, and watch. And take it as someone saying something. And always nail it as their opinion. Don't make it your opinion until you research it, you find facts, and put that spin on it, the factual spin. Your spin. That's the one that counts. Corruption everywhere? Not here, folks. We've got your back. We do this every day. Make sure you join us. Look and listen in. It's great having you along for this journey. Until next time, we'll see you. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.